North Shore Church, Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue, now presents Mr. J.C. O'Hare for his Sunday evening Bible message.
Very happy again to be here in the studio of WLS in Chicago to bring you the broadcast of God's eternal and infallible Word. You remember the psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, "Thy Word, O God, is forever settled in heaven." And the same psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Well, it's one thing for the word to be settled in heaven. It's another thing for it to be settled in your mind and in your heart. I want to say to you that I believe that the Bible is God's word just as much and just as though Almighty God would appear in person right in this studio and speak. There isn't any other way to account for the Bible than the fact that one divine mind, the Holy Spirit, controlled every writer from the first of Genesis to the last of Revelation to give us the glorious truth that we have in God's Word. As the Apostle Peter said, "All flesh is like grass, and the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord abideth or endureth forever." The word of the Lord, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, the scripture cannot be broken. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're born again by the word of God. We grow by the word of God. We're cleansed by the word of God as we read, and we're to take the word of God as the sword of the Spirit if we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's no substitute for the Word of God. As the Old Testament saint said, it was more necessary than my daily food. Thy words were found of me, and I did eat them, and I found them the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Well, the Apostle Peter, who said that the word of the Lord endureth, abideth forever, is the one who spoke of God as the God of all grace. In 1 Peter 5:10, isn't that a wonderful title? A very significant one. You know, God has a number of titles in the Bible. He's called the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. He's called the Father of Spirit. He's called the God of all comfort. He's called the God of hope. That's a wonderful verse in Romans 15:13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul has so many times that salutation, it begins there, grace, mercy, and peace. Well, God is called the God of all grace, he's called the God of peace, and he's called the Father of mercies. And the Apostle Peter knew a great deal about the grace of God. He knew that the Lord had wonderfully saved him. But, of course, as we've said, the outstanding grace preacher of the Bible was the Apostle Paul. He is the one who said, "By the grace of God I am what I am. And that grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And he said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now, I'm sure you know that the Apostle Peter did not preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. He preached the searchable riches of Christ. He said, "I'm preaching that which Samuel foretold, which Joel foretold, which David foretold, which Moses foretold, which Abraham foretold." And anything that was foretold about Christ was not the unsearchable riches of Christ. But the Apostle Paul had revealed to him, by the risen Christ in glory, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that which was not foretold in any book from Genesis to Malachi, the 39 books before the Lord Jesus Christ came. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful to study in the Bible the eternity of grace. By the eternity of grace, think of these three verses. We want you to think of these three verses. In 2 Timothy 1:9, we read this, Then God has saved us and called us. Now listen to this. With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We talk of time being a part of eternity. Now, when we speak of the eternity of grace, notice then in 2 Timothy 1:9 that this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Then in Ephesians 2:7 we read this, in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what God is telling us there in the second chapter of Ephesians? After these scenes of time have passed, the things which were seen are temporal. After this is all over, God is going to put on exhibition some sinners saved by grace to the praise and of his glory, wherein he hath made us accepted or graced us in Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace. Beloved, do you know and experience the great truth of Ephesians 1:6 and 7? To the praise of the glory of God's grace, wherein he hath graced us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This grace was given us in Christ before the world began, and after the things of this world have passed, in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we have the truth for grace now. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we read in Romans 11:6, if it is of grace, it is not of works, because grace is not works, and works is not grace. But remember this, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Now then, the same God who saves us from the penalty of sin and from the wrath of God, from eternal conscious perdition by his infinite marvelous grace, and tells us that we're declared righteous by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, tells us of his all-sufficient grace for every need and every test and every task and every trial of every Christian. We have it in 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always having all sufficiency, you might abound toward every good work. So whether it's for the saint or the sinner, remember, God's all-sufficient grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more superabound or overabound. The overabounding grace of the God of all grace. And my dear friend, as I've said so many times, by 95% of the people, whether they're saved or unsaved, most of the grace of God that is available for the members of the human race is unused. They refuse to accept the grace of God. Remember, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. As we've said so many times, there's a great difference between grace in a former dispensation and message and in the present dispensation of grace. The Apostle Paul tells us in the third chapter of Ephesians, he says, I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And he said, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is committed unto me for you, the dispensation of the grace of God? Surely when the Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and told those men, he said, you killed the Prince of Life, but if you're willing to repent, God will forgive you, and you may be baptized for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and receive God's mercy. There was certainly grace there, but that was the gospel of the kingdom. That was not the gospel of the grace of God. The first time you have the expression, the gospel of the grace of God, you find it in Acts 20:24, where the Apostle Paul said, I must finish my course with joy and testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And he tells us in Galatians 1:11 and 12 that by special revelation from the risen glorified Christ, he received the gospel of the grace of God. And he said, if any man or an angel preach any other gospel than he preached, let him be anathema. Yes, one of the greatest crimes that can ever be committed is to pervert the gospel of the grace of God. Or as Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by man's doing, then Christ has died in vain. In other words, God tells us that in order to become a living saint, we must be saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. You do not have to do one thing religious or otherwise to become a saint. The very moment you come by faith to Calvary and acknowledge that you're the ungodly, hell-deserving sinner for whom Christ died, and receive Christ as your Savior and meet God at Calvary, then all your sins are forgiven and you stand in the presence of God, justified without a cause by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, saved by grace for time and eternity. Here's the poem we wrote, and we have this on a little sheet with three different choruses that is the poems put to music. We'd be very glad to send it to you with the book on the message of grace. If you'll write to me, Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We'll send you the choruses and this poem we have, and also the book. If you want to send postage, we'll send you several books. For above in God's heaven, there on God's throne, the glorified Savior appears for his own. For all who are trusting in his death on the tree, because I am trusting, he appears there for me. Nothing by nature can I reckon or claim. All by God's mercy, all in Christ's name. He, rich in glory, became poor for my sake. Of his divine nature, by faith, I partake. Christ suffered at Calvary, he died there for me, to save me from judgment, and now I am free. From God's wrath I am delivered by his infinite grace, because the Lord Jesus was judged in my place. Yea, Christ is my Savior, my Lord, and my head. I am one with Christ Jesus, and with him I am dead. But with him I am living, for Christ lives in me. This is life eternal, in Christ Jesus 'tis free. By God's Holy Spirit I am indwelt and sealed, till my Savior in glory shall soon be revealed. Baptized by God's Spirit into God's blessed Son, because I am trusting in what he has done. God's mighty power raised Christ to his throne. His mind for the taking, yea, my very own. For with Christ I am seated where he is above. Such is God's mercy, his grace, and his love. God's door of salvation is still open wide. By faith in Christ Jesus you may step inside. You're not sure of tomorrow, so do not delay. Receive Christ as your Savior and do it today. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. If you want the poem and the choruses and the book, write in, and we'd be glad to have your letter from you. God bless you and good night.
Count Your Church, Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue, now presents Mr. J.C. O'Hare for his Sunday evening Bible message.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer. Very happy to be here again in the studio of WLS in Chicago to bring you the broadcast of God's eternal and infallible truth. We bow to give thanks to Almighty God, worshiping him as the God of all grace and as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the Lord Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then he said, no man knoweth the Son except the Father, and no man knoweth the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son shall make him known. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The wonderful statement in 1 Timothy 2:4, God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. So we read in Romans 8:32 that God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Did you ever stop to think of that? Did you ever stop to think of the presumption and the ignorance and the audacity and the stupidity of any person who thinks that he or she can ever get into heaven except through faith in the perfect redemptive work of the perfect Christ? God spared not his Son, but when his Son died on the cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Son went behind the clouds. There was darkness. For in the hour of his death, the Lord Jesus Christ was crowned with the thorns, which was a symbol of the curse. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And there the blessed Son of God was made sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Last Sunday night, we offered you a book. Some of you sent in for that book. Many sent in for the other books. But this book is free for you if you'd like to have it. It's called The Unsparing God of All Grace. Yes, God is the God of all grace, but he's the unsparing God. For we read all through the Bible of this unsparing God. God spared not the angels that sinned. God cast them down to Tartarus, or hell, to be delivered into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. And he brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And then God spared not the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He condemned them with an overthrow, and he made them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. But the Lord does know how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This we find in 2 Peter 2:4-9, and I want to tell you, my dear friend, I believe the Bible is God's word, the living word of the living God, just as much as if Almighty God would come into this place tonight, right in this studio, and speak. And it behooves us not only to hear the word of God, but to heed it. And then we read that God spared not the natural branches, and he will not spare the Gentiles. You remember what the Lord God said in Jeremiah 13:14, "And I, the Lord, will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them." So if you'd like this book called The Unsparing God of All Grace, where you learn that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and if you've broken every commandment 10,000 times, if you're willing to come by faith to Calvary and believe that Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and tasted death for every man, if you're willing to believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin, and by him all who believe are justified from all things, if you want to be reconciled to God by the death of his Son, if you want to stand in the presence of the holy and just God as though you'd never committed one single sin in word, thought, or deed, and to be saved from the wrath to come, it's all for you, just if you will let the Lord Jesus Christ save. I said to the friends this morning in preaching at North Shore, you can begin at Genesis and go all through the Bible, and you'll find this is what God is saying to the human race. I'd like to save you from hell. I'd like to take you from heaven if you'll let me. But the great majority of people will not let God save them. But remember, God asked you a question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Perhaps you've noticed the new sign which is appearing in many places now. Stop, look, live. Well, the same warning in somewhat different language is being repeatedly given over the radio with a statement added. The life you save may be your own. People who do not heed these warnings are very foolish, but even the people who do stop and look and escape physical death by accident, they're not sure just how long they're going to live on this earth. You may be saved from an accident today and die of fever tomorrow or cancer or something else. Unless and until some extraordinary event takes place to put an end to this awful epidemic of death, sooner or later each one of us will have to say with David, "I go the way of all the earth." I believe it was Mark Twain who said, "The bed is a dangerous spot, for more people die in bed than in any other place." When people die, we often hear the statement, "The end has come." Is this true? Several thousand years ago, a man asked this question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" Then he answered his own question by saying, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days he shall stand upon the earth, and I will see him. And though worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I'll see God." Since that time, more than 15 billion people have died. Will they live again? Well, you may not be interested in all them, but how about you? We're told that 3,000 people die every 24 hours in the United States. Well, where are the dead? Man wasteth away, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? So far as the life after death is concerned, it cannot be said the life you save may be your own. We're told in Galatians 2:21 that if a man could save himself by his own effort or religious deeds, then Christ the Savior died for naught. The Savior said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we are told in the Bible, if we do not believe the record that God has given in the Bible concerning his Son, we make God a liar. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was in the form of God. He became a man, and he went to the cross of Calvary and suffered and bled and died. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And the gospel is the fact that he died for our sins and was buried and was raised. And if we believe that, God says that gospel will be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Concerning unbelievers, God's word is plain. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, but not for a Christian. Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. There is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's wonderful to know the truth that by Jesus Christ all who believe are justified from all things. There isn't any way to be saved except by faith in the crucified and resurrected, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, divine Son of God. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, we're told in Romans 14:12. This is the divine record, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one remedy for sin that'll save you from eternal conscious perdition, and that's the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the time Christ raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Some time ago, I was holding a meeting years ago, and there were a number of people there that said the gospel had been had played out, and the people up to date didn't believe the old gospel that was preached by the apostles and the prophets and by the early settlers of this country. And I wrote these words, and I'd like to have you listen to them. It's entitled The Old Gospel. And don't forget now, if you want a copy of the book entitled The Unsparing God of All Grace, write to me. Better not to write to the station, as some of you have done. Write to us, Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. That's the address of the North Shore Church, where I've been pastor for more than 31 years. We're a fundamental church, an evangelical church. We're against fanaticism, but we stand for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints, for the verbal inspiration of the Bible, and the eternal deity and virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his vicarious suffering on the cross and his bodily resurrection. And we believe in his premillennial coming. And we believe in what the Bible teaches, that the unsaved are headed for eternal conscious perdition, and those who are saved by grace through faith are headed for eternal conscious glory. Whenever you're in Chicago, we'd be glad to have you visit with us at 1011 Wilson Avenue at the North Shore Church. Now here's the message that I put in print. And remember, we have about 200 of these poems that I've written. This is entitled The Old Gospel. They tell us things are moving at such a rapid pace that the world's outgrown the gospel of Christ's redeeming grace. That anyone's old-fashioned who believes the Bible true, that the world has made such progress, it needs a gospel due. If we happen to be sinners, we are really not to blame. In fact, we just think we're sinning is what some people claim. Most folks don't understand you when you say be born again, for they're working for salvation, they're imitating Cain. Control our lives with noble thoughts, be gentle, sweet, and pure, and because we do the best we can, God's mercy will be sure. Speak of God's great love for us, but of his wrath say not. Preach heaven all you care to, but hell must not be taught. Of Jesus some speak kindly as the man of Galilee, but nothing of the Lamb of God who died on Calvary's tree. Say not of his pierced hands and feet, nor of his wounded side, out of which the Father is forming the Savior's precious bride. And so they twist and try to change the word which Christ did say, shall long endure the dying world and never pass away. O sinner, come and see thyself. a lost and ruined soul, and hear the words of Jesus Christ, thy faith hath made thee whole. Away with the world's new theories, and back to the blessed book. Let's go to the cross of Jesus and get a saving look. And know, as we see him hanging in agony and pain, it was for our transgressions the Son of God was slain. We need no other gospel, for none other will avail. But against the church of Jesus Christ, hell's gates shall not prevail. Be safe in the ark like Noah, and escape the judgment flood. Anchor your faith in Jesus, and get under his precious blood. And we'll keep our gaze on heaven and watching unto prayer. We'll wait for the Lord of glory and meet him in the air. And down through the endless ages when heaven and earth are new, we'll sing of the cross of Jesus and know that his words were truth. Well, this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching you to receive Christ as your own personal Savior. Please tell others of our broadcast, and until next Sunday at this time, good night and God bless you.
Friends, we've just heard Mr. J.C. O'Hare, pastor of the North Shore Church. You're invited to tune in again next week at the same time for the Gospel of Grace. This is WLS, the Prairie Farmer Station, Chicago 7.
This is the broadcast Sunday night of October 24th over station WLS.
The North Shore Church, Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue, now presents Mr. J.C. O'Hare for his Sunday evening Bible message.
This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. We give you that address because we're always glad to hear from our radio friends. We've been giving this address over the radio for more than 30 years, having had the privilege all of these years to have the health and strength and the voice to send out over the radio the gospel of the grace of God. I would say that the majority of the members of the church where I am pastor, the North Shore Church, Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue, Chicago, were saved or brought into the work there through the radio testimony. Sometimes during the winter months, we hear in 1 week from 25 or 30 states, and we thank God that we've had the privilege all of these years of preaching the gospel of the grace of God. We accept all of the Bible as the inspired word of the living God. I was saved many years ago reading the Bible, and I believe the Bible is just as much the word of God as if Almighty God in person would step into this studio and speak. There's no other way to account for the word of God except as the Bible tells us that holy men of old were borne along by the Holy Spirit, that all scripture is God-breathed. And the word of God is life-giving. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're born again by the word of God. And in the word of God, we proclaim the gospel of the grace of God, which is God's message for today. Teaching that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I do believe that after you're saved without works and without ritualism, without religion, by the infinite, matchless, marvelous, all-sufficient grace of the God of all grace, then you ought to give every moment of your time and every ounce of your strength to Almighty God and obey Colossians 3:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by him. Well, that's what we're going to do in this message today, at this time. We are going to give thanks unto God according to Colossians 1:12 and to 14. Now, when you have time, open your Bible. And remember, you will receive a most cordial welcome if you attend North Shore Church, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. That's 4600 North here in Chicago, where I've been pastor for more than 31 years and where we always preach the Bible and teach God's truth in the light of the dispensation and the age of grace, that message that was revealed by special revelation from the risen Lord, by the risen Lord, to the Apostle Paul and through him to the others. So remember Colossians now, 1:12-14, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, having delivered us and transferred us, as we read there, We're delivered from the power of darkness. We're transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. My, isn't that wonderful? Where it says that we give thanks unto God who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, the real meaning there, he has qualified us for heaven. And at the time we're transferred, we are transformed. We're not saved by our preaching reformation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born from above. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born from above. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work. Now God's grace is altogether sufficient for every need and every deed of every saint of God. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always, having all sufficiency, you might abound toward every good work. But God doesn't want any of your good works or your religion until first you have been transformed and transferred. You know, anyone who turns to religion, a sinner, though moral and philanthropic and self-righteous, when you turn to religion instead of to Christ and the gospel of grace for transformation, you're just twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Millions and millions of church members have never experienced regeneration. They know it when you talk to them. They don't believe in the great fundamentals of the faith. They think nothing of contending earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. But we have to be God's workmanship. We have to be worked upon by God before we can be workmen for God. Then we ought to give every ounce of strength and every moment of our time and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, how we ought to thank God for this wonderful, wonderful truth we have in Colossians 1:12-14. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been transferred, that's the word, transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know what God says all the way through the Bible? Someone has given the illustration of the British Navy rope. So much of it was lost. They wanted a way to detect it, and so they ran a crimson thread all the way through that navy rope. Anywhere you cut it, you'll find that crimson thread. And anywhere you cut the Bible, you'll find that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's only one remedy for sin, the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood cleanses us from all sin. Unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood, in whose blood we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And in Ephesians it says that is according to the riches of God's grace. So we need to be transferred. Now that's the same work that the Holy Spirit does, and we read about in 1 Corinthians 12:13. By one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. The moment we are transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body. If there's any clear teaching in the Bible, anyone ought to understand, even a babe in Christ or a superficial student of the Word of God, is that God has one and only one church in this age and dispensation of grace. And that church is not primarily a religious organization. It is a spiritual organism. And all of the religious potentates and dignitaries and church officials and pastors and bishops and elders cannot induct one single member into that body. They can let you in as a member in some local assembly. But only Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can make you a member of the true church. And everybody in the body of Christ is a saved person. But there are millions in church organizations that have never been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. They've never experienced the transforming power of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit in regeneration. They have never become God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The matter of becoming a Christian is just as definite as God's creative work when he created the heavens and the earth. And the same God who created the heavens and the earth creates the sinner. And it doesn't make any difference how many sins you've committed, my dear friend. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And when you come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, meeting God at Calvary, where Jesus Christ said, now is the judgment of this world, where he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, then you immediately pass out of death into life. You pass out of Adam into Christ. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed abroad us in us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, and to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, I hope you see the difference between saved not by works, but saved as God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In that way we can understand the meaning of the statement, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Things on earth are not just right. There's something wrong, we know. Sin has brought the curse and blight. There is universal woe. God's grace can change the human heart through Christ who saves from sin. But most sinners will not do their part and let the Savior in. Let's be true to Jesus, our debt to God he paid. On him, the Lord of glory, our every sin was laid. We're not saved by serving. Let's serve because of love. And we know he will reward us when we reach our home above. How long on earth will you abide, remain in your present sphere? What has happened to all who have died? Where did they go from here? We all go from here to another place, either saved or lost. Are you still rejecting God's saving grace? You'd better count the cost. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. I'd like to say, if you'd be interested in the copy of the poem, write to me. We have sent out thousands of the books of poem. We have a few of them left. And if you write in, if you want to send the postage, we'll send you several different books. I have published and printed more than 155 different Bible study books. And if you are interested in the list, we would be very glad to send it to you. And the one who writes in from the longest distance, we will be very glad to send to you a set of our books. Don't forget the address, and we appreciate it very much when you tell others of our broadcast. Remember, we always specialize in the gospel of the grace of God. The greatest need of humanity today is not religion, not even what some people call the Christian religion, but a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, not even in a religious setting, but in the dispensation and the age and the gospel of the grace of God. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So don't forget our address, and don't forget to write in or tell others of our broadcast. The address is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We thank God that we've had the privilege, as we said, all during these many years, more than 30 years, of sending out the gospel of the grace of God by means of the radio. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. So we're always sure that we preach the word of God because God says we're born again by the word of God.
This has been a tape recorded message by our pastor, Mr. J.C. O'Hare, from the radio station WLS Chicago. This is on Sunday evening, October 31st.